George Capanelli here, welcoming you to another hour of Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people, passion, and purpose meet.
And I'm Alan Huttner. We're your hosts at the place where boomers, elders, and conscious members of younger generations come to listen, learn, and participate in a lifestyle revolution. Join us for in-depth interviews and world-class experts, authors, provocative commentaries, humorous and informative special features interspersed with some great music.
Our topic today, the hero's journey. We're going to look at the central journey people throughout history have taken to master their life lessons and arrive at their next level of consciousness. You're going to join Sadina and me for the next part of a really insightful conversation with wise woman Barbara Marks Hubbard, who Bucky Fuller called one of the true futurists of our time.
And as always, those nice musical interludes, Mary Chapin Carpenter, Transcendental Reunion. We have Luciano Pavarotti, La Vita e un Inferno. That sounds hot. And Taj Mahal. What am I living for? Our special feature today, Sadina will bring us another enlivened aging strategy. And George and I will bring you another one of those, you got to be kidding, news segments. And George will also be very forthcoming with one of his poignant, provocative, and practical commentaries on the hero's journey.
So welcome to Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people come to celebrate living consciously and aging wisely in the 21st century. The tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that we wait so long to begin it. We've shared this quote by W.M. Lewis before and share it again because it's both true and very powerful. Which is why we're encouraging you to connect with your dream, because we know that this reconnection is essential to your personal well-being and to fulfilling the agreement you made long before you arrived here on this earth. In fact, our experience is that your dream is your doorway to what throughout history has been called the hero's journey. Based on the experiences of many people we've had the privilege to work with, we also know that it is not in our individual interests or that of the world at large, although the world may proclaim it to be so, for us to set aside our individual dreams for the sake of the collective goals that are measured too exclusively these days by the amount of economic accumulation and the number of our material possessions.
Oh, bless us for that. Indeed, we know the world today, with all of its environmental, social, economic, political, and cultural challenges, is in jeopardy, seriously, not because we've not been practical, acquisitive, and rational enough, but because many of us have been too practical, acquisitive, and rational. Yes, we have subjugated our individual dreams in pursuit of goals that are illegitimate offspring of the age of reason and the industrial age, and as a result, we and our world are paying a very high price. So from our perspective, if each of us, for us to take full advantage of the years we have remaining, whether that number is 5 or 75, and if each of us is to fulfill the purpose we have come here to fulfill, then getting back in touch with our individual dream and with the unique and essential energy it contains is of paramount importance.
Yes, yes, yes to that. So Anthony DeMello, if you haven't read him, read him, a writer and Jesuit priest who lived and taught primarily in India, believed that our dream, our unique individual dream of what we're here on the earth to accomplish, is also a key to innocence. Innocence in terms of, lest you be as children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And if we take a little liberty with DeMello's definition, we believe innocence includes authenticity and originality, two primary keys to living the lives of true meaning and purpose. DeMello writes, "The first quality that strikes one when one looks into the eyes of a child is its innocence, its lovely inability to lie or wear a mask or present to be anything other than what it is. In this, the child is exactly like the rest of nature."
And notice that DeMello equates innocence with naturalness. He then goes on to say, quote, "When grown-ups punish a child for telling the truth, for revealing what it thinks and feels, the child learns to disassemble, and its innocence is destroyed. Soon it will join the ranks of the numberless people who say hopelessly, 'I do not know who I am,' for having hidden the truth about themselves for so long from others, they end up hiding it from themselves." What a powerful statement, and what a telling critique of the beliefs that shape so much of the world today. There is additional gold in DeMello's words, including the key, we believe, to a revolutionary path each of us can take to rediscover our innocence and fulfill our destiny through the resurrection of our dream.
DeMello says, "In our world, a child is infected by the desire to become somebody. Contemplate the crowds of people who are striving might and main to become not what nature intended them to be, musicians, cooks, mechanics, carpenters, gardeners, inventors, but somebody successful, famous, powerful, to become something that will bring not quiet, not self-fulfillment, but self-glorification and self-expansion. You're looking at people who have lost their innocence," he says, "because they have chosen not to be themselves, but to promote themselves, to show off, even if only in their own eyes. Look at your daily life. Is there a single thought, word, or action untainted by the desire to become someone? Here's another way that grown-ups corrupt themselves and the innocence of childhood. They teach the child to imitate someone else. The moment you make a child a carbon copy, you stamp out the spark of originality. The moment you choose to become someone else, however great or holy, you have prostituted your being and exiled from the kingdom that belongs to the innocence of childhood."
For a man of the cloth, Anthony DeMello certainly did not pull his punches. In fact, one might call him ruthless in his championing of truth, courage, and the pursuit of individual dreams. Indeed, to read his words, to allow them to enter our consciousness, is to feel the unavoidable and unquestionable power of his unwavering commitment to what is authentic about each soul. So, what do we do with this understanding? Do we avoid it, telling ourselves it is too late for us, and as a result walk away again from that unique divine spark that burns deep inside us? Do we walk around feeling guilty and regretting our loss of innocence, our missed opportunities, feeling compressed by the world around us, or do we try to take our entire world, our world, apart and start over?
As much as we're in favor of remaking our world as quickly as possible along much more sane, sustainable, and ennobling and innocent lines, although we're in favor of encouraging ourselves and others to live lives that are based on the rhythms of the natural world, it would be impractical to assume that we can do all of this in a single leap. So if we cannot change the world in one leap, what can we do? I'll talk about some of that a little later.
Come back to the revolution. Age Nation Radio.
Age Nation Radio.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at NavigatingYourFuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 book awards. It is a powerful call to action and to a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
Come back to the revolution. Age Nation Radio.
We are back. This is Sedina and George here with celebrated elder, author, wise woman, Barbara Marks Hubbard. So, George, there's a quote that we keep talking about that I'd love to hear again.
Yeah, Barbara, in I think it's in 52 Codes for Conscious Self-Evolution, there's a quote by Buckminster Fuller, and he says, "There's no doubt in my mind that Barbara Marks Hubbard, who helped introduce the concept of futurism to society, is the best informed human now alive regarding futurism and the foresights it has produced." High praise from Bucky, you know.
And you just keep on doing this. As a matter of fact, we were blessed to have you on our program, which was Do Not Go Quietly. It was a celebration of the Wisdom Keepers. And it just so happened that you came on live on our show. And this was an event that you created and co-produced, Bliss 2012, that reached, I believe it was 40 different countries online. It was an amazing thing. And you don't stop. You just keep going. And there's more that we're going to talk about soon. But before we go on, since the words conscious and evolution, Barbara, hold such a central place in your life, just take a few minutes to give us a foundational definition, if you would, of the difference between what most people think of as normal evolutions and what you're calling a conscious evolution, if you would.
I would say that my understanding of evolution came from a few great thinkers to begin with. One was Sri Aurobindo, the Indian philosopher and great yogi, who wrote The Life Divine, and Teilhard de Chardin, The Phenomenon of Man, and Buckminster Fuller. And those three, and Abraham Maslow, who the self-actualizing person. Mm-hmm. So I began to get hold of the fact of evolution. But then when I actually heard about cosmogenesis, which is the scientific understanding that the universe has a history from the origin of creation all the way up through billions and billions of years. And I saw through Teilhard de Chardin that every turn in the spiral was higher consciousness, greater freedom, more complex order. And then I saw it was, according to Teilhard, heading towards a global consciousness through the noosphere, the thinking layer of Earth. I got a sense of purpose was, how do we bring that noosphere to life? How do we do this? And I got completely turned on, began to have experiences of planetary birth as a, almost a revelatory experience, and to feel that the spiral of evolution that's been going on unconsciously for the species involved for billions of years, in our age, was suddenly becoming conscious because we could destroy ourselves with our own power or evolve ourselves And the deeper meaning of this is evolution itself was becoming conscious in us. Mm-hmm. Not just that we're becoming conscious of evolution, but through us as the result of those billions of years, we are evolution becoming aware that we are evolving by our own choice. So conscious evolution is evolution by choice, not chance.
So exciting.
And so in many ways, prior to this shift, evolution really was an unconscious experience by comparison.
For the species involved.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With completely, and there were billions of extinctions. Now here's where I got from Aurobindo, particularly, is that he felt there were two aspects of the divine. Mm-hmm. The one was the eternal. And the second he called consciousness force. And that the eternal one, universal source, mm-hmm. began to express itself through the formation of quarks and electrons and protons and neutrons and all the way on up to us with what he called supramental intelligence or universal intelligence. Mm-hmm. And there would come a time when that supramental intelligence of universal creativity and consciousness force would be experienced through the human intelligence. And we would literally transcend Homo sapiens sapiens. Mm. And that is what I actually think is happening.
Right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
At this point in our evolution.
I have to say that makes absolute sense. I mean, what an incredible description of what is taking place. And it's also very comforting actually, because there are so many people who are saying what is happening is changing. I can feel it, you know, and yeah. you hear it everywhere.
Now. You do now. It really has shifted from 2012 to 2014. Has been a time of awakening of millions of people who don't know even what language to put around their feeling of awakening.
Exactly. Yes.
And it's interesting because we were talking to Greg Braden the other day, and Greg's new book talks about, you know, the new normal, and mm-hmm. and one of the things that he said that was so touching was that this evolution and change from his perspective is such that, and it is happening so rapidly that most of humanity doesn't even have the time or hasn't taken the time to mourn the passing of one stage of evolution to welcome another. And so part of the conflict that exists comes mm-hmm. from the fact that there hasn't been a punctuation placed.
So important.
When you understand the lessons of evolution, it's easier, because one of the great lessons is crisis precedes transformation. Mm-hmm. And problems are evolutionary drivers. Mm-hmm. And nature takes jumps through the formation of whole systems greater than the sum of their parts. Mm-hmm. So if you interpret the current situation as a crisis leading possibly to transformation, and that you are part of that transformation because you're a member of the planetary body and you can't get out of that. Mm-hmm. Then the interesting thing to me is some people are immediately attracted to that level of participation of emergence.
Yeah.
Right.
Other people are scared or even antagonistic, mm-hmm. which would include a lot of reactionaries, a lot of super fundamentalist religions, mm-hmm. A lot of types of thought processes that are clinging onto a vision. Mm-hmm. It's like the flat earth society.
Yes, yes. That's a very good way to put it.
The flat earth society is here to tell us this isn't happening. It's a mistake or somebody else's fault, and certainly not theirs. So, you know, bless them. I never try to change anybody's mind. particularly if they're a member of the Flat Earth Society.
Really?
Because the really important thing now is to connect with those who are thrilled to participate.
Absolutely.
Like you and me and your audience, we're the ones who are the pioneering souls on Earth.
Right. We're the ones we've been waiting for.
And what I think the step that we're about to be able to take due to internet and the very rapid growth of the nervous system of the planet,
right,
is to interconnect those who are already emerging,
right,
in the new consciousness and the new creativity. That level of interconnectivity via communities all the way on up to internet, mm-hmm, and global brain would be for me the most important next planetary purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is one project not owned by anyone, but infused by everybody.
Yes.
And everybody's own project is required for it.
So let's pause at that point as we get to this end of this segment. We're talking to wise woman, author, and conscious evolutionary Barbara Marks Hubbard, and we'll be right back.
Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 Book Awards. It is a powerful call to action into a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio. You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.
So George and Alan back. You know, Alan and I have talked about it, and I've said it on a number of different shows that we don't have a chance to cover the entire interviews, and Barbara's interview, as so many others, is so really terrific. So you and I, Alan, we got to make a commitment to find a way to bring the full interviews to folks so that they can listen at their own convenience, and we'll do that.
There will be a way for Barbara to come back, so just remember what you just heard.
So, you know, one of the things Barbara said, obviously, was that crisis precedes transformation. And if that's true, then we're in for one heck of a transformation, you know.
Mm-hmm. She said evolution. I mean, transformation and evolution maybe are synonymous. in terms of, and I love her. She was referring to three different people.
Yeah.
And I forget who she attributed to the evolutionary spiral, but we touched on that last week too. And this place where you feel, you know, you're feeling like you're falling off the edge, or you brought up Greg Braden about things moving so fast, things they're not, there's no new normal anymore. Well, how do you, how do you cope? Be it personally, we can talk about this. How do you cope with the energy sometimes that are so powerful? And if you just get the wrong thought mechanism going, or you got a belief system or a fear around something that triggers you, it can send you off the wrong end of the spiral instead of giving you perception about maybe how to jump or take the leap of faith, you know?
Well, I mean, from a personal standpoint, I get in trouble when I hold on too tight, you know, because you can't hold on to what's moving and not get bandied and whacked about. So I think the best thing to do is you surrender to what's going on and not struggle against it. And in that way, you begin to find new balance within it, you know. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're finished because you're trying to hold on to a branch on the side of the river, but the current is so darn fast that it just constantly wants to sweep you away. And then you lose your point of reference. If the river, the flow is your reference, then there's nothing to lose. There's only a way to float, to go with it. And I forget that. I hold on tenaciously.
Well, that's the row, row, row your boat gently down the stream song. You know, you can't row up the stream and expect to, you know, have some center or balance. And I know it's hard sometimes in the ordinary work day, and people are moving and bustling and commuting and everything that's going on. But again, for me, you have to have some silent time, break out of, you know, grab a branch on the side and sit there and go into a meditation, and your mind will be active, but you'll gradually come back to what? The authentic self that we talked about so often.
And that obviously is what evolutionary consciousness is all about.
You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.
Each week, you know, we look at those items that show how fiery the world can be, and sometimes what can give us hope.
You know, you can only do so much in the time allotted, an hour or less of, you know, what we present. And I'm so happy we have that, you know, as a mic to speak to these things. And I know that a couple of weeks ago, if you'll remember, we talked about four ways to evolve beyond capitalism. That was by inspired by Carl Gibson from Reader Supported News. And I'd like to continue on his topics that he brought up. But first, I'll repeat his opening quote. He says, "I believe that all of the economic problems we currently face are natural results of capitalism. From rising poverty in the midst of record high corporate profits, polluted air and dwindling water, private prison systems that rely on mass incarceration, students going deep into debt while the government books student loan profits, foreclosure, stagnant wages, all of these economic problems can be addressed once we acknowledge our seriously flawed economic system and vow to fix it. Now that we're having a serious conversation about capitalism, we can also have a conversation about solutions, along with calling out flaws of capitalism. I'm proposing four solutions that would fix the most glaring problems in capitalism and blaze a new path forward for the next generation." End of quote.
Yeah, so Carl's first solution is to break corporate monopolies and free trade agreements. And, you know, one of the things I want to be clear about is that all things have their time. And here in America, we have this inability to even talk about how to evolve systems. But systems have their day, and then it's time for revision, revisiting the core value of it. And that's true of capitalism. It's time that we look at it in a different way, not because we want to go towards socialism or communism or some other ism, but because we want to go to something that serves the greater good. And corporate monopolies don't serve serve the greater good, and free trade agreements that drive the price of American workers down and the price of foreign goods up, that doesn't help us either.
And if I may, I know there's four of these, but I think this is a key one, breaking corporate monopolies. But tied to that, okay, is the support of corporate monopolies and corporate power by the Supreme Court. Citizens United needs to be overturned in some way, because you cannot give a corporation, no matter whether it's a single company or a bunch of monopolies, the same rights as a human being. And, you know, I might mention that Daryl Hannah has a new movie out. I haven't seen it. I just heard about it. I think it's called Lying, Cheating Bastards. I'm not sure. And I love Daryl Hannah. I loved her as a mermaid, but I like her better as an activist.
Well, you're right, and the fact of the matter is, if we want democracy to thrive, then we have to regain the values of democracy.
And the second thing that he brought up, guarantee full employment. I mean, we have so many ways we can do this in this country. It was built on the backs of people doing things in infrastructure, you know, hands-on, you know, whether it's riveting, growing, farming, building solar, repairing infrastructure. It's not about Wall Street, you know, making a fraction of a percent increase on trading multiplied by millions of transactions doesn't really help anybody but that 1% super wealthy, and they cannot run the country anymore.
No. And, you know, Carl's third point is to wage war on climate change, poverty, inequality, and greed. And you were talking about inequality and greed. The fact of the matter is, there is no doubt that our climate issues are the dominant problem of our age. We're not paying enough attention to it. We are not. Politicians aren't speaking honestly about it. The media isn't. And one of these days, unfortunately, the vast majority of our people are going to wake up. And when they wake up, they're going to discover that the habitat on which they live has been seriously impaired. And we can't allow that to happen.
Yeah. You know? And just to touch on the fourth one, because it's to plant a seed about the building a new populist political party. You know, we really have a two-party system. It's somewhat unique to this country. And I think we need to change that. We need to find a new way of aligning people behind some, you know, additional left-right, you know, blue-red, liberal-progressive polarization or duality.
It's what serves us we have to align behind, you know?
Age Nation Radio. Love. Laugh. Enjoy life.
We are Age Nation. We will soon be 150 million people strong. We're 40 and older and represent the fastest growing population segment. We weren't born yesterday and we're not dying tomorrow. We work, create, and contribute. We buy the majority of new cars, invest, travel, control 80% of this nation's wealth and at least that much of our faculties. AgeNation.com is our website. It's a doorway to valuable information, inspiration, radio, live and online education and entertainment, digital magazine, books, products, discounts, and more, all from some of the leading wisdom keepers of our time. AgeNation.com, for the generations who changed the world and have the wisdom, experience, and the need to do it again. AgeNation.com, it's free. Sign up today.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at NavigatingYourFuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Reclaim your passion. Age Nation Radio.
George and Alan back, and now we're delighted to bring you another of Sedina's very insightful and valuable and live and aging strategies.
And she's going to talk about walking in balance.
Oh, good.
Hi, I'm Sedina, here to share with you some simple yet powerful and live and aging strategies to support you in creating greater clarity, balance, inner peace, and rejuvenation for your body, mind, and spirit. Today's enlivened aging strategy is walk in balance. When love reigns in our hearts and minds and we are free to be in the present moment, there is balance and peace in our lives. Living in the past is a real ball and chain because it drags us away from the joy and opportunity of the present moment where life is full and alive with spirit. Marianne Williamson says that forgiveness is a conscious decision to focus on love and to let go of the rest. She explains that the decision to let go of our grievances against other people is the decision to see ourselves as we truly are, because any darkness we let blind us to another's perfection also blinds us to our own. So true. A wonderful ancient ritual that frees us from the weight of our past is something the Native Americans use for balance and inner peace. They use this ritual at various times of transition or when someone is about to die. The ritual is called the Death Lodge, and it is an actual place where they go alone to make peace with everyone in their life. They invite others into the Death Lodge to express their forgiveness so that the energy between each person is cleared. If someone has died, then they invoke their spirit and speak to them out loud and express their feelings in the same way as if they were alive. They believe when there is a letting go of resentments and unresolved energy, we are then open to being more fully alive. And when we die, we will not take unfinished business with us. This act of forgiveness ultimately helps us to make friends with our own death and allows us to begin each day with a clean slate, free of the weight of the past and the fear of the future. We can perform simple versions of this powerful ritual in our lives on a daily basis using a symbolic death lodge idea or just in contemplation, creating this ritual of making amends and forgiving those people who are in our lives and who have passed away with whom we have unresolved issues. The most important person we have to forgive is ourselves, of course, lending compassion and tenderness to those parts of us that we have shut out of our hearts. You can make this ritual come alive and bring balance and peace into your days by taking this quiet time in whatever way works for you, a short time each day or each week to honor the preciousness of your life by keeping your heart open. This is an act of commitment to forgive all and live joyfully, alive and well, free in the present moment and withholding nothing, including your love. This practice of forgiveness is a choice that allows us to be our best. As my friend Great Elk Waters says, walk in balance. So remember to include this walk in balance and live and aging strategy in your Aging Consciously backpack and go to EnlivenedAging.com for more. Many blessings.
All right, and it's time now for George to take the podium and stand strong with another provocative commentary.
So what does living the life you were born to live have to do with the hero's journey? Well, instead of following the old habit of trying to be someone else, instead of projecting the dissatisfaction we may feel inside out onto the world around us and trying to recast the world in our image, a practice that has led us largely to the mess we now find ourselves in, our suggestion is always to first practice creating true alignment within ourselves, alignment that only comes from getting in touch with our dream and the unique wisdom it contains. So let your dreams lead you into and through the maze of the challenges and obstacles that fate has placed or will place in your path. For this is the surest, truest, and ultimately the only way to create sanity, harmony in your inner world, and then ultimately in the world at large. George Leonard, the author of Mastery, among other books, describes this experience in this way. There is a human striving for self-transcendence. It's part of what makes us human. With all of our flaws, we want to go a little bit further than we've gone before, and maybe even further than anyone else has gone before us. Sedina has her own unique way of describing the process of finding and living our dreams. She uses the symbolism of old-time spectacles and believes that dreams can be discovered if we're willing to see in a new way, to respect, as she says, to relook and discover those things that taught us to be loving, those people who made us smile and feel terrific. This is a valuable way of respecting our gifts and talents. By remembering people who influenced us in a positive way, we can discover some sense of courage that will help us follow our dreams and be all that we can in the world. In a world as seemingly sophisticated and complex as ours, it's easy to dismiss this premise about the importance of following our dream. It may seem too simplistic. After all, how can challenges so significant as those that we face possibly be solved by each of us returning to what others called unrealistic or impractical dreams that some of us had as children? But don't dismiss this too quickly, you know. Instead, ask yourself some of these questions. What feelings do I experience when I get in touch with my dream? Do I experience joy, passion, enthusiasm, or an increase in my energy level? Do I experience greater clarity, hope, and a sense of renewed purpose? So what would my life be like if I went forward into the world each day with this kind of joy and passion? What could I contribute to the people I love each day from this place of enthusiasm and energy? And remember, the purpose of getting in touch with that quiet place within where you hold your dreams is not to feel bad about not following them, but instead to help you remember that it's really never too late or too soon to do so. Perhaps you're already discovering that having touched briefly into your own dreams again, you're sensing some of the unlimited potential and possibilities that George Leonard referred to. Having a dream that you pursue, even if only in your spare time, can insulate you from so much pain and frustration in life. Of course, we know that a number of questions arise when you consider your dream. How can you follow your dream and still propitiate the gods of economics? How do you make peace with lost opportunities? You see, in the end, the pursuit of your dream takes trust, determination, and courage. Only by doing what you came here to do can you live. For as Matthew the Apostle once said, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?"
Yeah, nicely done, George. You know, it's all about the soul ultimately. And we'll continue with Soulful Age Nation Radio Magazine next week. We're going to go more deeply into this conversation about spirituality and health.
We got some surprise guest next week. We're not telling.
Oh, good. All right. Yeah. Well, and we'll just let it hang for right now. But you know, the guest segment story is great. Also, we'll do our enlivened aging strategies with the Sedina. You got to be kidding piece. I always look forward to that because usually I don't see them till a little before the end. And we'll close out with another Rudy Rapp next week on I don't know what yet.
So we got a lot of I don't knows, but whatever the I don't knows are, they're going to be great. AgeNation.com, visit it. Do Not Go Quietly, a good book, and it's worth reading. Again, 5 National Book Awards. And visit NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com to learn some terrific things about some really great wisdom keepers. Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 Book Awards. It is a powerful call to action and to a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.